Just think, just move past these bad days. You're useless. You were useless back then, and you're useless now. When are you going to stop being such a pushover?
And I have in my notes right here, Ned stops being a little bitch. Moral cast time. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Moral Cast. We are on episode 67 now. Is that right? 67? Wow. We've been doing this for about 2 years now, podcast episodes every week or so. As you know, we review different medias and judge their moral efficacy. I will say this at the beginning of every single episode. And, wow, I just gotta say, it feels good to be, you know, this deep into things. Last week, we reviewed Boss Baby, the acclaimed movie about a baby becoming a boss. In the comments of that, Jacob of Ruby wrote in, "Hi, Moral. I've been enjoying your podcast. I especially love the episode this week where you broke down the acclaimed movie Boss Baby and how it relates to our capitalist society pushing responsibility on further and further youth. However, I disagree with your opinion that you blame the parents for the irresponsibility shown in Act 2. Whoa. And instead believe that it was a critique on society, oh, and how it pushes us to do certain things we would not normally do, especially in the workplace. Also, I have been using your podcast to fall asleep since you started back in January." Oh, wow. That was a long time ago. "I really appreciate the earlier episodes where you would mindlessly ramble for 6 hours straight with no notes about children's movies. I hope you've been sleeping nice and having good dreams, too." My goodness, thank you for the comment, Jay. Yeah, I agree. I kind of looked over my 46 pages of comprehensive notes that I took for Boss Baby, and I kind of realized now that I overlooked what the kidnapping scene truly represents, right? It wasn't the parents robbing the child of their non-working life, but society itself. And yes, I have been sleeping really well. You know, last night I had a weird dream. It was kind of about the podcast, because I've been doing it so much and for so long that I guess it just kind of enters into every aspect of my life. But I was dreaming that instead of making these podcast episodes, I was making adult content, like lewd audios. I don't even know how that would work. I mean, I would say things, but it would be like porn or something. It was wild. Can you believe that? It was a little spooky. It felt kind of really real, but yeah, I can never see that actually happening. We've been making exclusively podcasts for the past 2 years and nothing else, so yeah, maybe there's some alternate moral out there that went in that path, and in the middle of dreaming, we swap lives. Whoa! Just kidding, that'd be ridiculous. Anyways, today's piece of media that we're going over for Moralcast is School of Rock, the 2003 educational comedy and musical starring Jack Black. This movie follows a washed-up and over-enthusiastic guitarist as he takes over a classroom and teaches students how to believe in themselves and express themselves through the power of rock. A few months ago, we actually had an episode about Kung Fu Panda, which also starred Jack Black, who was kind of amazing for the role. That movie scored pretty big on the moral efficacy scale for our main character, and significantly less so for the other characters who would just actively serve to discourage him, right? Up until the end, of course. I think that those types of movies are really enjoyable a lot of the time. So does School of Rock and Jack Black's performance hold up in this one? Let's find out. So, as for the plot and how School of Rock goes, we can all be on the same page as everything. As always, I'll be going over the movie and the events that happen, kind of chronologically, and every so often we'll stop and we'll take a look at the moral implications of what the characters are doing, right? The movie starts out with Jack Black playing Dewey Finn, who I will be referring to as Jack Black for the entire film, because, to be honest, it is Jack Black. They were made for this role, and through, when I look at the character, I do not see Dewey Finn. I see Jack Black, and I will never be able to see otherwise. Anyways, they're singing on stage and rocking out. It's like a concert sort of deal. And he's clearly got a lot more enthusiasm than his other band members. He's really going in there. I am enjoying his energy, right? Maybe if I were paying to see the performance, then I might be a little bit skeptical of this man running around stage and playing the guitar moderately well. But regardless, I enjoyed it. The crowd, Not so much. After a little bit of him rocking out, Jack Black decides to dive bomb into the crowd, of which everybody moves away and leaves him to fall directly on his face, and he passes out there. It is very clearly showing that he is very washed up, not doing great in things, quite literally fallen to the bottom, right? The movie then cuts to Jack Black laying down, face just completely in a dirty bed, trashed place, and it pans out, and you find out that he has just completely taken over the corner of one of his friend's houses, and is kind of leeching off of them. This friend is Ned Schneebly, one of his former band members, who has decided to get another job as a substitute teacher. This is a certain moral situation. I would say that this falls into kind of a moral ambiguity. We don't really get the full feelings of Ned Schneebly's feelings around the situation. If he's perfectly okay with it, then I would say that this is in the morally kind of, what's the word? All right tier, right? If Ned Schneebly is enthusiastic to have a friend in his house who just happens to not be paying rent, then I would say that most people benefit from this situation, right? Who's getting hurt by that? Of course, Ned is financially, but if he doesn't really care, then that means that this isn't morally wrong. Somebody who does certainly affect the equation, though, is Ned Schneebly's girlfriend, who does not like Jack Black. She very much does not like Jack Black. She wants him out. She wants him to either pay rent or leave. And if they do not do that, then she will break up with Ned Schneebly. And Ned Schneebly is not happy about this ultimatum, which I believe kind of puts a... It's a strange ultimatum to have a relationship on. But maybe it does make sense, considering somebody else living in your home is a pretty major part of life, so I don't completely blame her for that. Anyways, Jack Black is comically down and washed up. He's not doing good. He is doing terrible. This scene ends, and it follows with Jack Black going to his band and asking them about their gig that's coming up, that's gonna maybe earn them a lot of money. However, he promptly gets kicked out of his own band for being a little too quote-unquote weird with the guitar. This is not looking good for Jack Black. He is doing terrible, and he is down in the dumps. He's not taking it great. He's disappointed. He went from this over-enthusiastic rock star to somebody who goes home and is lying there dead inside. And here he's just got to figure out a way to pay his rent. The phone rings. Jack Black picks up the phone, and he hears that a certain school needs a sub to come in for a job. Now, this sub is not a sub sandwich or any kind of other definition for sub. It is a substitute teacher, which is Ned Schneebly's occupation. So this call was definitely for him, but Jack Black sees an opportunity. See, all he has to do is go in and steal his substitute teaching job, get paid for it, and then pay the rent that he gets from this job to Ned Schneebly. It works out. He gets to pay rent. He gets to stay in. Everybody wins. Of course, Ned Schneebly might suffer as a result of Jack Black doing his job very poorly, but yeah, that is definitely an option. Is it a morally correct one? No! No! Impersonation is not good, as it turns out. The biggest situation in this is that Ned Schneebly, very directly, he gets a very negative effect from this. He doesn't quite know about it. It hurts him very directly in his career, which is very important, and could end up losing him his job. That's very bad. This is very illegal. He just kind of replaces him. So he ends up walking into the school, just pretending to be Ned Schneebly, right? He's very unprofessional. I have zero clue how they even let him into the school, let alone walk around and then actually enter the room as a substitute teacher with nobody suspecting it, but I understand that the plot must go on and everything. Right? It would be very, not a very exciting movie if he was just cut out in the middle of Act 1. Anyways, Jack Black goes into a class, and he gets put in charge of an entire classroom of students, where he promptly, is very awkward. He asks the students if they have any food, and he opens up the desks of one of the students and grabs the sandwich out, just begins eating it in front of her. That is certainly a behavior, I would say. Is it a morally ethical one? Well, she certainly doesn't care about getting her sandwich taken, and Jack Black certainly enjoys the sandwich. So, really, I see this only as a win-win. Maybe. This definitely depends on her feelings around the situation, which she doesn't really communicate, if she's perfectly fine with it. And maybe she's one of those people that really enjoys giving other people things, right? If that's the case, then this was a morally correct thing to do. But because Jack Black does not really know this, it falls into a very gray area. As far as taking a sandwich from your students, I would say, if you ever get in that situation, probably not do that. The class isn't very enthusiastic. People are very vocal in the fact that they do not like him and think he is crazy. The class smart girl, Summer, who I will be referring to as smart girl because that directly defines one of her traits, she does not like him. She does not like him at all. And this continues. Jack Black just has these classes over and over again. He gets increasingly depressed and he vents to the children about all of his woes in life, about getting kicked out of the band and his financial struggles and his rock dream being destroyed. The kids are getting not very happy. Even when Jack Black offers recess every single day, they just kind of awkwardly sit there and stare at him, wondering if this is going to be their future or if they can be better than this person who has taken over the classroom. One of the students even goes as far as to saying that they are outraged by the fact that their parents are paying $15,000 a year for this. This is brought up a few times in the movie, the $15,000 a year thing, and I find it very, very amusing that they just, the students just know an exact price point that they're going to this entire school, and the fact that they actually even care. I have not found a child who has ever cared about the money their parents are spending on their school. But maybe that's just because I didn't go to a school like this. That is also a possibility. We get to kind of learn about all of the students in the class. I've already gone over the smart girl Summer. There's a couple of very nice people in the class, all with their bountiful personalities. There's even one kid in the back of the class named Freddy, who is introduced by saying that he would like to commit arson for fun. It's quite the colorful cast of characters. Jack Black then tells the class to give up on life, and he curses out humanity in front of everybody. He is not enthusiastic about the class. He does not know how to teach, he does not want to teach, and everybody is unhappy. It's very bad. Right now, Jack Black is a very bad person. He's quite literally robbing these students of their education and making their life worse, and he's not even really enjoying it himself. This is purely a monetary move, and I would say that this is very morally bad. I thought that he was a little bit in the metaphorical red at the beginning of the movie, but impersonating somebody, not only damaging the future of our children, but also his best friend, presumably, is not good. This is just terrible all around. It goes to show just how not great this character is. The shot then cuts to Jack Black using a comically small urinal, which is one of the funniest scenes that I've ever seen in any movie ever. It represents how little he fits in this society. He isn't really accustomed to everybody's beliefs in this system of school where everybody's very kind of formal and trying to do things in a very certain way. His free spirit quite literally does not fit in. And it's just made abundantly clear here where he is just not fitting in. The movie begins its agenda against classical music, where he overhears some of the students playing in the next room over. He decides to give the students a listen and sees them all kind of just playing guitar and everything very formally. All of these very slow, nice classical music. He's not happy about this, but he sees potential. He sees potential in these kids playing music, and he gets very, very hopeful and enthusiastic. Jack Black runs away, and he decides to see if they can learn rock, and he sneaks in musical equipment. This is a morally fine choice. Sneaking in musical equipment into a school doesn't really have any moral issues, right? The students can actively learn from these, equipment and everything, and it's not like that really hurts anybody, unless he starts to kind of blare the music to the point of where other rooms begin to get disrupted by this. But that does not happen. So, he brings in all of these instruments for the students, and they pick up the guitars and all the rock equipment and the drums, and they learn very, very quickly. Not comically quickly, not unrealistically so, or maybe a little bit unrealistically so, considering there's one line I directly wrote down, quote unquote, "You play cello? Here, have a bass guitar." That is less realistic. nobody can pick up bass guitar and learn it, but maybe that's just because I don't know how to play cello. These kids start to learn rock music. The edgy arson kid instantly goes wild on his drums, and it is clear that even the smart girl who previously hated Jack Black is secretly enjoying all of this, tapping her fingers and kind of swinging her legs. Jack Black convinces these students that they are training for a rock concert that will get them into Harvard and that they should not tell their parents. This is where we start getting into the weird stuff again. This is where we start getting into the morally questionable things. Right now, this isn't morally bad. Jack Black doesn't have any ill intent for these students, and they can learn things. And this is a device that he can use, perhaps a white lie, to get these students to learn their instruments and get them educated in something that he can actually provide them. It is a morally good thing on a foundation of very morally bad actions, which means that we're still very much bad, but it's a push in the right direction, I guess. Throughout this entire experience, the child actors are very awkward, and it works so well, because who wouldn't be awkward if some man came in and took over for substitute teaching and didn't teach for a week and then came in with a bunch of guitars and stuff? It fits very well. It's the first time that I've seen a awkward child actor just look incredible in this situation. So, this begins. Students are starting to get enthusiastic for the band, and so is Jack Black. He is feeling it. He's feeling motivated in life for something again. And the students are very attentive now, and they're interacting with each other, and something is happening. Something is happening, and it is scary, because you don't know where it's headed. What is this? What is going to happen? Is he betraying the kids? Is he going to use this for something bad? He is quite literally pushing a system onto this classroom that was not supposed to be there originally. And directly in the next scene, we see the school lunch. Now, this is irrelevant right now, but it will become relevant later. The school lunch is consistent of apples, a corn and cob, a cup of fries, a sandwich, and Kool-Aid. Now, this shot quickly leads into the next scene where Jack Black is organizing the room and appointing students to exact jobs such as security guards. It's very interesting. He is appointing very serious jobs into these students and maybe even teaching them about some real-life occupations. He tells the smart girl to be a groupie, which made me take back everything about my previous statement. I was a little bit doubtful that the movie knew what that might imply, and I was a little bit questioning of that. But the smart girl comes back in the next scene and says to Jack Black, "I looked up what groupie means," to which I go, "Oh no." And she says, "They are sluts," and she is not happy about that. And that is a direct quote from this movie, The School of Rock. She just calls out the fact that I did not expect this. I was very taken aback. Anyways, this is going in a very dark direction, and Jack Black gives a little speech and pledge, and he has the students obey his words without question. Obeying his words without question. A bad moral foundation. Kool-Aid? This is a cult! Jack Black is beginning to start a cult. He's beginning to start a cult of rock, and this is going in a very bad direction. He's trying to teach the students not to use critical thinking. This is exactly what the entire school system is doing to these students, and it becomes increasingly clear through the movie that this school system is not here for free thinking. It is here for a particular thinking method that may or may not be good in certain ways. And they're teaching these kids in a very specific way and trying to go them in a certain direction. And who knows what kind of dark kind of implications this may have down the road. We don't know anything about this whole school. All we know is that it's very sketchy and strange, and they're desperate for substitute teachers that will uphold their values. And this is just another reflection of it. Even Jack Black, who is trying to fight the system by not participating in it, is slowly falling into it. He's not actively fighting back. And this is where the movie starts to get interesting. Jack Black starts to tell students that bands that are not rock are not worth talking about. And the movie increasingly feels like Jack Black just walked on a set and started improvising an entire movie. It's very worrying. He weeps to the children in song about getting kicked out of the band and vents to them. It's very sad. He introduces a bunch of artists to the students with the quote, "These are some of the great artists of all time," which I find very amusing. And this is where I start to... I had to pause the movie for a solid half hour here. I had to recollect myself. I was in a cold sweat from this movie, and I decided to take a break. I look up School of Rock, and the first thing that Google gives when you look up School of Rock is School of Rock based on a true story? No, it is not. No, it is very much not, random person on Yahoo answers. The second thing that comes up is School of Rock appropriate for an 8-year-old? Which I expected, given School of Rock is about people who practically look like 8-year-olds, that it would be, but I can see a lot of parents not being happy to show this to a bunch of their children because it uses some adult words. There are characters in Hangovers. There is prominent gambling in later scenes, and I'm not kidding about that. There is alcoholism and kids trying to grow up to be morally not so great. They plan on just sleeping on with hookers in later parts of their life, which is fine if you want to make that choice. But the fact that Jack Black may be accidentally teaching these kids that this may be a value that they want to have is... It starts to fall kind of apart here, right? They curse prominently throughout the movie, which I was very surprised about, given the fact that this is a movie about children. And, is it appropriate for an 8-year-old? If it was me as an 8-year-old, like if I saw myself as an 8-year-old and I was like, hey, can I watch School of Rock? I would be okay with it. I wouldn't care. But some parents will make the choice of not saying that School of Rock is appropriate for their children. And, I would have to say that there's some merit to potentially thinking that way. After this quick recollection session, I began to watch the movie again, and the movie shifts once more. Jack Black continues to teach these students, and it's going very well, but also in this very strange, twisted direction, and something happens. Jack Black is outside of school, and he sees one of the students getting yelled at by their parents. It is very clear that this is potentially an abusive parent relationship, and Jack Black stops, and he looks at this, and he reflects on what the school is kind of putting on these students, to the point where if they step even a little bit out of line, their parents will give them hell. And he reflects on this. And he starts to realize that maybe this restrictive motion of forcing these kids into this band in this one certain way may not be the way to go. Maybe instead of fighting the system, he is becoming a part of it. And Jack Black looks, and he stares, and he looks into the sky, and he silently changes. This is where Jack Black takes a shift. This is where he stops his moral downfall and begins to look inside. He begins to look inward to what he can do better. And He sees that he does not want to be just another teacher in this school system. He wants to allow these students to express themselves and not just be a tool for him to use to push a belief system onto. I expected this movie to go into a full-on cult with this, but instead, Jack Black recollects and he begins to see that he's falling into this cycle, and he falls out of it through sheer willpower. I find this very respectable, and I was very surprised to see this movie go in this direction. It was quite amazing, honestly. In the next scene, Jack Black tells the students to insult him to get out all of their anger, and they go very hard on this. In fact, it is so hard that I would go to, and as far as to say, is this is a plot point that doesn't really get expanded on too much, because the teacher is Jack Black is very... he's not treated well. The students say they hate him. They say that he's useless and a terrible teacher and one of the worst people that they have ever met in his entire life, and he just stands there increasingly awkward at his students insulting him, but he is at least glad that they are expressing themselves. There isn't really a plot point or anything. It's just his students calling him dumb. You could argue that this is teaching him humility, however. There is one boy, Billy, who is a fancy boy, and he just hates Jack Black. He says to him, "I genuinely hate you." And he just repeats this. Jack Black is like, "Okay, we can stop doing the pretend insults." And he's like, "No, you're the worst person. I hate you." This doesn't really develop into anything too much. It's just very funny. And I like to believe that this kid just started expressing himself in the middle and they just left it in. Anyways. There is a kind of sweet moment that kind of follows this up, where Jack Black teaches the kids how to express their frustrations through music and rock. He teaches them that maybe instead of bottling up all their feelings about the school system and how much it kind of restricts them, that they can yell it into the world in the form of music and really kind of get more in tune with themselves. I was really surprised to see that so quick on his recollection he begins to kind of put in place his new ideals of maybe the students shouldn't be yelled at for being themselves. Maybe this whole strict system isn't good. Maybe I should be a little bit, you know, more attentive to these kids' issues. And he starts hearing them out on their personal lives and what they kind of get angry at. It's very touching. This is morally correct. We're still kind of bad because he is kind of a sham and he's not a great person, but he's finding his way back. He's finding his way back and he's learning how to be a good influence on these people. There's then a training montage. I love training montages. Training montages are always very fun when they are done properly. This was a little bit surprising because in the background of this training montage of people learning how to truly kind of get into rock and them getting enthusiastic and figuring out themselves and how to express themselves through the power of music, there is a Bonzo Goes to Bitburg in the background by Ramones. To give a perspective of what this song is like, I recorded one of the quotes, one of the lines here, quote, "Don't become one of Hitler's children." I was very surprised to see this in a kid's movie. But I think it ties in with the message of the film very well, right? Up until this point in the film, he was allowing himself to let these children fall into these kind of lives that were set up for them where they might not be fully fulfilled by it, but were just kind of enacting what other people told them to. And I find that very good. It's taking a turn in a very, very good direction. Will this continue until the end of the movie? Let's find out. Quickly, this gets followed up by the principal being revealed to be a closet fan of Stevie Nicks. This is very interesting. The principal throughout the entire movie has been very uptight and not very happy with Jack Black. She is the head of the entire school system there, where she is expected to teach the students how to act in a very precise way that's very formal and everything. And while, you know, she's very good at her job, she's also very not very nice. She's not very nice. We'll put that in another way later when she talks about it further. Right after the principal is revealed to be a closet fan of Stevie Nicks, all of the students then go out to quickly sign up for a band battle. This will potentially earn them a lot of money and is why Jack Black formed this band in the first place. The arson kid threatens somebody with drumsticks, and that is quite the moment. This is where a lot of the kids get to shine with their personalities and everything. The arson kid, Freddy, he's very much a rebel. He's not very, he's a free spirit, potentially a corrupt kind of version of what Jack Black could have been, where he is so free that he's doing whatever is on his mind without any kind of care about how morally correct it is, tying in with the moral messages of this movie. There's also a very sweet scene that doesn't actually really have any significance to the whole deal itself, where one of the student goes up to Jack Black and she says, I can't sing. And he's like, oh, what's up? Is it anxiety and stuff? And she has a heart to heart with him. And it turns into a whole thing where she talks and she's like, I'm too fat to go up there. They'll make fun of me. And I was really surprised to see this explored in a kids' movie. I was really happy to see that. And Jack Black completely turns. This is where he fully sees the kids as just actual people. This is where he starts to become, instead of just a good person, a great person. He gives a nice talk. He himself is, you know, a very large man. And he gives a beautiful kind of talk about why you shouldn't really care about what the hell other people think, and that people are beautiful no matter what, and what is important up there is to be yourself unabashedly, and if they don't accept you, then that is their problem. And I found that very inspirational, right? This doesn't really have any plot significance. The girl doesn't really have a moment where she is afraid to speak and then kind of thinks back on this moment. It's just a very closed scene of this happening. And I enjoyed it. I thought it was very good. This quickly cuts to Freddy, arson kid, going into the back of a van with a bunch of guys, of which Jack Black panics at the idea of one of his children going in the back of a van with a bunch of guys. It's a little scary. I panicked. Again, I had to take my little break. I had to do a change of clothes. I was sweating so much at this point in the movie. And once I finally got the courage to hit the play button again, because this movie was very much an emotional roller coaster, it cuts to the back of the van, and it shows him gambling. He is fucking gambling with a bunch of people, which is going down a path that maybe a small child should not be going in at this point in their life. He doesn't know the implications of gambling yet. And Jack Black talks with him, and he gives him a heart-to-heart again about why maybe doing that, that's not the spirit of rock, that's not expressing yourself, that's being impulsive, that's doing things that might not be a good idea. And I think this is also Jack Black talking himself at some points. It's a very good moment, and Arson Kid has a little bit of temper throughout the entire rest of the movie, but he certainly learns from this. They go to the sign-up for the Battle of the Bands, and they find out that they were late. They did not get the sign-up. They don't even get to play. They're not allowed to. After all of this build-up, after all this development, training montages, emotional moments, they do not get to play, and they are furious. This was an unexpected turn, and I didn't know how they were going to resolve this. Jack Black goes, and he begs, and he says, "Ah, come on, please. Come on, they just want to play. I'm sorry I'm late. They'll give you a performance of a lifetime, trust me." And they say no. And the movie grinds to a halt. This is where Jack Black makes the most morally intense decision of the entire movie. Jack Black decides to form a plan. He goes back, and he tells the guy in charge that the kids are terminally ill and are going to die, and he's a volunteer at a local hospital, and this is the last thing they are going to do before their last dying breaths. And he's very disappointed that they did not get to play tonight. What? This was not the direction that I expected. I don't know about you. What a moral choice that he made. This is potentially the biggest thing that we have to ask ourselves. Was this a good moral decision? Did people benefit from this? You know, did people's lives improve more than they did not? And I would say this was the morally correct thing to do. Because this is kind of this is setting the stage for all of these children's lives. If you look at it objectively, is that a terrible lie? Yes. But look at it from a whole perspective. This is advanced morality. If you're doing something and it serves to not hurt somebody in a meaningful way, and by meaningful way, I mean like at all, right? If you like take $20 from somebody and they're kind of sad about it, then you should not take $20 from somebody. But if you take $20 from a billionaire to feed your starving family, yes, that is the morally correct thing to do if you have to steal it. That's just how things go, at least in an advanced morality sense. Would I actually condone this? I mean, I can't speak on that. But regardless, this is a very bold decision by Jack Black, and he succeeds. All the kids get to play at this band, and it doesn't really get addressed later, the fact that he does tell this lie that has massive implications for the following points in this band, and when it ends. Everyone's going to see that none of the kids are actually hospital patients, and that doesn't matter. It's a movie. They're in, baby. And that's a whole thing, and it's a beautiful success. Beautiful success from everything. They end up going back after successfully securing their kind of attempt to sign up and get into Battle of the Bands, right? And it shows the entire class, and Jack Black begins kind of enthusiastically talking about things, and then another curveball is thrown. The teacher decides to sit in for a class to see if Jack Black is actually teaching and not just screwing around or playing rock music. It's very awkward. He does not know simple math. He tries to teach the students 2 plus, 67 plus, 20 or something, and he gets it wrong and stuff. It's very bad. I'm surprised he was not fired. But he tries to save the situation. He tries to save the situation by inviting the principal for a stiff drink. I don't know about this. Using alcohol for your ideals is not exactly a morally good thing to do. It's not really... it's not good. But in the context of this movie, it may serve a greater moral purpose. So I will give Jack Black a benefit of doubt, right? And they go out, and they start having a little bit of drink. It's very clear that the principal has never really let loose before. Despite her being very pent up for the entire previous part of the movie, she's finally kind of showing some emotions, despite her never doing so before. She begins to kind of open up about things, and this really amplifies when Jack Black goes, and he plays Stevie Nicks on the kind of a jukebox, and she is loving it. She's super happy. She's smiling and laughing, and they're just talking about their enthusiastic stuff. Jack Black convinces her to let him take the students on a quote-unquote field trip, which is secretly Battle of the Bands. And she's like, oh, yeah, sure. She's very drunk when she says this, which I don't know about that. They continue having this conversation, and then the teacher finally breaks down. Her metaphorical egg cracks, and she looks at Jack Black, and she says, I have been trying so hard to not become what I am, and it's happened. I am a bitch. She's not actually allowed to say bitch because this is a kid's movie, so she mouths it out, and then he's like, you think you're a... And he kind of, pauses because it's very clear that they're not allowed to say bitch. So they're just making sure you know they said bitch in every way possible without actually saying it. This is a whole moment. We see that the principal is not really what she wants to be. Unlike Jack Black, who decided to kind of fight against the system that is going in a cult-like direction with the Kool-Aid and everything, he is fighting back against it, where she fell into the hole. She is quite literally evil, Jack Black, and she's not doing good. She's trying to teach these students in a very exact way, and anything that falls out of that is wrong and terrible, which it shows the two sides, the dichotomy of her own guilt and Jack Black's own difficulty in his own expression, but still perseverance to succeed in what his goal truly is, which is kind of shifted from winning Battle of the Bands to having the students win Battle of the Bands for their own sake. When Jack Black returns to the classroom, the fancy kid goes off on him again and just insults him, says he has no style. This is immediately dropped again. I guess it just doesn't go anywhere. This never actually goes anywhere. But after this, Jack Black tells the students not to get drunk the night before the concert, which I appreciate the concern. I do not know how I feel about him telling this to a classroom of students. Right after this, something very dramatic happens. Ned Schneebly gets a check in the mail for a good substitute teaching job. Ned Schneebly is confused. He has not been substitute teaching. And that's because Jack Black has been stealing his job, of course, as we know. This is bad. Ned Schneebly attempts to call the school, but then Jack Black stops him from this, and he says, no. This whole thing's going on. You can see that the cogs are turning in his head. He's figured out what's happened. Ned Schneebly's girlfriend walks in, and she's like, what is going on? Please tell me. And he's like, Jack Black leaves in the middle of this chaos, and this doesn't really get expanded on. This is quickly followed up by a student-teacher conference that Jack Black goes to, and he's woefully unprepared for. He kind of improvs in front of a bunch of teachers about how he has been teaching all of these students mathematics and science and history and math. It's very awkward. They can tell that something is up, and they're questioning why all their students have become more enthusiastic about music in the past few months. It's clearly a scene that's rearing up for something. It's clearly a scene that is preparing us to see the fall of Jack Black's moral bad choices. You see in the background that the police are walking up. Ned Schneebly's girlfriend got the truth out of him, and she has decided to take legal action. She's very... I don't know about this. Ned Schneebly is very much not happy about that. You can tell, because he didn't really initiate that. But anyways, this isn't about her. This is about Jack Black getting investigated by the police. He tells the police, I'm just finishing up the teacher-student conference. And it's not a normal student-teacher conference. It's a... Like, all the teachers and all the students are in one room, and Jack Black is just speaking to all of them, which adds to the awkwardness a lot. He tries and tries, and in a final moment of desperation where he realizes that his gig is all up, he says he's been teaching the students about rock, and that he's learned from them, and he says the kids have truly touched him, and he has touched them as well, and he realizes that the phrasing for that was very off, and the cops began to chase him and arrest him, and Jack Black is out just days before the concert. This is where Jack Black faces all of the terrible things that he has done, stealing his best friend's job and getting his entire classroom to do something that he just had in his mind, using them for his own gain. This is not a morally good set of decisions, and it's very sad. It's very unfortunate. You begin to see that maybe everything Jack Black did was wrong, and that he has negatively impacted everybody involved. But then, as Jack Black is laying there, regretting his actions, getting so drunk that he begins to have a hangover again, lying in bed and regretting every decision he has ever made, we begin to remember that this wasn't everything. While Jack Black definitely started with intent that was morally wrong, as we have gone over several times, there was a change midway through, where he began to treat these students like people, and he started going against a system that taught them to be one specific way, even if they weren't happy about it. We began to remember how he taught the students how to express their frustrations and be themselves, and really do something that was fulfilling in their lives. And that is what makes him different from the school system that was making these students into drones. And the students completely separate from Jack Black, organize the field trip, quote-unquote, on their own, and try and get to the concert. Jack Black is completely separate. He's been fired. He's been fired from the job that he never had, kicked out, arrested, and everything. But the kids, they still believe, and they see the value in what he taught them. They convince a school bus driver to take them to Battle of the Bands, and they start going out, and they make a stop by Jack Black's house. And they get him, and they get him up, and they say, "We're here." And then he finally sees that he's not a terrible person himself, and he really recognizes the morally good intentions that he started to have midway through. Jack Black goes, and he gets in the bus, and they begin to ride to Battle of the Bands. Ned Schneebly, seeing all of this, he reminisces on his old band days where he would go and he would perform with Jack Black, really living out his life to the fullest. And he looks at his girlfriend and she says, "Oh, this is the worst thing. Jack Black is terrible. I hate Jack Black. You better not be encouraging this." And he's like, I kind of want to see the band. And she's like, "Oh, what the hell? You can't do that. That's stupid. They're kids. Kids aren't cool. Just move past these band days. You're useless. You were useless back then, and you're useless now. When are you going to stop being such a pushover?" And I have in my notes right here, Ned stops being a little bitch, and he goes to the concert to watch the performance of a lifetime. This was a great moment where he's finally realizing that his girlfriend does not have his, you know, real feelings in mind, and she just kind of wants control on him. This whole central theme of the movie around control, the school system controlling the kids, the parents controlling the kids, Jack Black initially, unintentionally, tries to control the kids. Ned Schneebly's girlfriend tries to control him, and it's about breaking out of the system and sticking it to the man. This is what this movie is about. And he leaves, and he goes to the concert, and they all kind of go out there, and Jack Black apologizes. He learns true humility. He says, "I'm sorry, I did some bad things, and I feel bad. I really appreciate you guys." And the kids are like, "Okay, come on, we're going to the concert. Come on, man. We know. They get to the concert, and the parents find out about this, and they end up trying to follow them there because they don't want the kids to express themselves or go to concerts. Some weird guy who pretended to be a substitute to kidnap their children to go to a whole concert together. And for some reason, they decide that the only logical way to stop this whole thing was to get tickets to the concert. Like, they explicitly say, like, maybe the best thing to do is just to get tickets here. It's a whole thing that everyone has this whole moment. They decide to perform the song that they haven't really, like, a whole thing that they haven't really practiced too much. That's one of the whole students' creations. And they go upstage, and they do the song that they've barely performed before. And they start singing. Full punk wear. Everyone looks rad as hell. It's a good song. I was very surprised with how intense it is. I thought it would be like a kids bop thing. But as it turns out, they go into a verse and it's like, "For this next assignment." And I was watching with subtitles here. And it emphasizes the ass in assignment. Like, it separates them. So you know that they're saying ass. "For the next assignment. Kick some ass." And I was like, wow, this is it. A bunch of, like, middle schoolers singing this. Wow. It's a good song. It is a kick-ass song. I will go as far as to say that. I very much enjoyed the song. And Jack Black is going wild, expressing himself, going crazy. And just as the beginning of the movie started, he is truly being himself on the stage and being enthusiastic. And he jumps into the crowd with all the parents and the teachers and everyone who formerly did not believe in him and all the crowd members and the audience. And they all catch him. They all catch him. It's not like the beginning of the movie. They catch him, and he is himself. This is him truly falling into a place where he can kind of express himself in healthy ways and truly benefit other people around him. The teachers are kind of skeptical and things still, but they're warming up to it slowly. They're like, "Wow, your child is really talented. And they're like, yeah, thank you. I guess. Whoa. It's a very sweet moment. It's a lovely ending for the movie. And it's not quite over, though, because there's still the announcement for who won and everything. And they announce the winners. They announce the winners of this whole deal. And it was not School of Rock, which is the band name that they decide on, which I thought was a really good thing. It's such a good name. Ah, the kids do not win. School of Rock does not win the concert. And I think this is good. I always love when these kinds of musical kind of whole things do this, because it emphasizes that it's not about winning a lot of the time. And especially in this movie, which is so much about going against the system that is here to disadvantage you, you don't always have to work with it, right? You don't always have to work with it. It does not decide your value. And right here, they're like, oh, we lost. And Jack Black is like, ah, no, I'm sorry. And the kids are like, we don't care. We had the fucking performance of our life. That was awesome. We loved that. Jack Black is like, oh, wow. Yeah, you're right. You got it. That's what I was saying. It's a very amazing moment. And the actual winning band goes out there and they start kind of getting their congratulations, and the entire audience boos them, and they're like, what, School of Rock didn't win? But they were like the good band. That, to even just put a cherry on top, the audience just starts cheering for School of Rock and boos the other band up. And School of Rock comes back for an encore of everything, and it's a really sweet moment. And it fades out to ending. That's School of Rock. It concludes with a little bit of a after climax kind of stuff. School of Rock is now an after school program that students can go to and practice. Which I have zero clue on why Jack Black is still running this, considering he was very much fired from the school, and I would assume that any school system would permanently ban Jack Black from any involvement with the school after impersonating a substitute teacher. But yeah, that's neither here nor there. We also never really hear about the legal implication of what Jack Black did, or any of the other whole things. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's a movie. It's a good ending. You don't need to hear about that. Everybody comes out of this a better person. That is School of Rock. How was it? It was far better than I ever imagined. I certainly didn't expect a subversive take on society, that's for sure. I really enjoyed it. I thought that it was really nice, and the moral message was very unique. The moral message was about maybe not just going through with things that you're just kind of being told. I'm surprised with how much they kind of blatantly go along with this. Like, they have the song where the lyrics are, don't become one of Hitler's children. It's telling you not to go along with stuff just because everyone else is, or some people are telling you to. It's telling you to be yourself and think about yourself on your own whatevers. And in my 2 years of recording podcasts, I have never had a movie with this much of a moral message behind it, with this kind of moral message. It's a unique one, and it's a very important one, and I think that it's something we can all learn from. Don't just go along with things, and remember that you can express yourself for who you are, even if people aren't enthusiastic for it, even if the world at large is not enthusiastic. You are you, and you should fucking be yourself and be a rock star. And that is how you should live your life. And it can be easy for us to get swept up in these things, as Jack Black did, where he started becoming a part of the problem. He himself was becoming a system for these students to blindly follow along from. But we saw the negative implications of that. The parents that would never be satisfied in their students, and the students themselves that were less fulfilled and had all these bottled up feelings. Truly a time. After all of this, the only logical thing to do is to rate School of Rock, starring Jack Black, an extreme moral upstanding award, which has only been awarded on this podcast like 6 times ever. It's beautiful. That concludes episode 67 of Moralcast. Let me know what you thought in the comments. Let me know what you felt about the movie if you've watched it. Let me know what kind of movie suggestions you have in the future for Moralcast. After all, I've been doing this for 2 years. I might as well keep going, right? And today's question is, what's the weirdest dream that you've ever had? Mine was certainly the one that I discussed at the beginning of this episode, where I had that weird one where I was making audio porn. Can't imagine that. That's bizarre. What's yours? Tell me all about it. And you know, this has been Moral on Moralcast. And see you next time. Keep being cool and keep being yourselves. Bye-bye.
Moralcast is over.